Okay. Yes. It is good to see all of you. And in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I bid you all a very wonderful evening.
Evening.
Someone asked me, do you think 2018 will be good, prosperous, and everything smooth? I said, I don't know. Who knows the future except the Lord who holds the future in His hands? It is a common tendency for people to look ahead. They wonder, what will happen next? That's why the pseudoscience of astrology is booming today as never before. Because we are apprehensive of the future, wondering when some health problem or perhaps a financial difficulty will surprise us, we long for a reassuring word of comfort. So, what do you think? I'm wondering what reassuring words of comfort to give the prayer meeting group for 2018. As I planned and thought, it came to me that the best thing I can give you is this. It's in your notes. The words of the hymn, Day by Day. And this is the best gift I can give to you for the year 2018. Now, have you a copy of the notes there? Yes? There should be many copies out there. Now we're going to sing this song so that you get the blessing of Almighty God. Dear friends, please turn to the words of the theme song. Hymn is Day by Day. Listen to the music and we'll sing. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each child what he gives them. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord Himself is near me, with a special mercy for each child. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, shall be in measure. This the pledge to me He made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust Thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation. Offer me within Thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when sore and trouble meeting, and to take as from a Father's hand. One by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land.
Thank you very much. By the way, the following is an announcement from a church bulletin, which is all right except for the lack of one single G. Choir rehearsal for Day by Day tomorrow at 3:30. Everyone who wishes to sing in the choir must come to practice. Okay, never mind. this evening, the topic is entitled Day by Day, after a song written in Sweden. We have Roman numeral 1, the participants. The participants. Someone once said, people who refuse to get involved in the problems of their community are like the two shipwrecked men in a lifeboat. From the end of the boat, the pair watched as those at the other end bailed frantically to keep the boat afloat. The one said to the other, thank heaven, the hole is not on our end of the boat. But it's not like that for the hymn Day by Day. All those who should be involved in the hymn were involved. We have a writer involved. We have two singers involved. And one of them composed the music. We even have a translator involved. First of all, we have letter A, the writer of the hymn. The writer of the hymn. The writer was a Swedish lady. She's known as the Fanny Crosby of Sweden for her many fine contributions to gospel hymnody. You know Fanny Crosby? Everybody knows her. The greatest songwriter of all time. In her lifetime, she wrote over 8,000 hymns. But this lady is not as prolific as Fanny Crosby. Her name is called Lena Sandelberg. From a pen flowed approximately 650 hymns that greatly and strongly influenced the waves of revival that swept the Scandinavian countries during the latter half of the 19th century. Lena Sandelberg was born in a Christian family on October 3rd, 1832 at Frederick, Sweden. Father was a pastor of the church of that community, and Lena was very attached to father. Being a frail youngster, she usually preferred to spend her time in her father's study rather than join her comrades in play. Whereas other girls were playing outside, Lena loved to stay with father in his study. At the age of 26, Lena had an experience that greatly influenced her life. When she was in the 20s, 26 years of age to be exact, with father aboard ship, they were crossing Lake Vättern in Sweden to the city of Gothenburg. But tragedy occurred before the destination was reached. The ship gave a sudden lurch, and Lena's father fell overboard and drowned before the eyes of his devoted daughter. The father lost his grip and fell into the water and was drowned. So poor Lena was bereft of father. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my father's wise bestowment, I have no cause for worry or for fear. Remember, she had lost her father, but ever afterwards she learned how to live by faith day by day. She learned early in life the all-important lesson of living each day with the conscious presence and strength of her Lord. Stanza 2. Every day the Lord Himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares He fain would bear and cheer me, He whose name is Counselor and Power. Although Lena had written many hymn texts prior to this tragic experience, now more than ever, poetic thoughts that express a tender, childlike trust in Christ and a deep sense of His abiding presence began to flow freely from a broken heart. Not only do we have the writer of the hymn, we have, letter B, the singers of the hymn. The singers of the hymn. And there was number one, Oscar Arnfeldt. Oscar Arnfeldt. The remarkable popularity attained by Lena's hymns had been due, to a large extent, to the simple melodious music written for them by the musician Oscar Arnfeldt. He was known as a spiritual troubadour in his day. Not only did he possess the gift of writing pleasing melodies that caught the fancy of the Swedish people, but he also traveled from place to place throughout the Scandinavian countries, singing these folk-like songs to the accompaniment of his homemade 10-string guitar. That was his occupation, singer and composer. Miss Sandel once said, "Arnfeldt has sung my songs into the hearts of many people." Not only Arnfeldt, but also number two, Jenny Lind, affectionately known as the Swedish Nightingale, used her sweet voice in the singing of these heartwarming hymns. Though she was internationally known for her formal concertizing, it is said that she would sit with the common workmen at their crude benches and sing these simple hymns about the Savior she loved and served. Every Sunday morning, as they began class, the fifth graders would line up and recite their one section of the creed in the order that it was written. That teaching method worked well for about 4 months. Then one Sunday, a problem arose. Class began the same way. The first girl, as usual, recited her first line flawlessly, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." The second, a boy, stood up and said his sentence, "I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord." But then silence descended over the class. Finally, one girl, who felt she had discovered the problem, stood up and loudly said, "I'm sorry, sir, but the boy who believes in the Holy Ghost is absent today." As if the others don't believe in the Holy Ghost. But the sequence is in order for the hymn day by day. Everyone is present. The first one is the writer of the hymn. The second one are the singers of the hymn. The third one is, let us see, the translator of the hymn. The translator of the hymn. The name of Andrew L. Skook, the translator of the hymn, was well known to the immigrant Swedish community in Midwestern America in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He was born in Sweden and moved to St. Paul, Minnesota at the age of 12. She had only a 6th grade education, yet she edited 7 hymnals, numerous works of the masters, and wrote a textbook on theory. For the last 50 years of his life, he was active in the religious life of the Minneapolis St. Paul area, where he was associated with Pastor E. August Scottsburg. The two men were frequently described as the Swedish counterpart of the Moody and Sankey team. The writer, the singers, and the translator. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 6, 8 and 9 says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God." In this case, it would be Lena Sandel has written, Arnfeldt and Lynn sang, Skook translated, "But God made the hymn great." Now she that writes and they that sing and he that translates are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for they are laborers together with God. Not only do we have the participants, we have Roman numeral 2, the passage. The passage. The thought of trusting the Lord to next year should be a day by day event for all of us. We do not know what is going to happen tomorrow, but the Lord knows. And so I've chosen for a thought tonight a passage from the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is a wonderful series of lessons by our Lord Himself, and it is especially good for Christians who have problems on how to live and how to cope with everyday problems. The passage I want to meditate with you is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 26. If you just turn there, please. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 26. Here the Lord Jesus teaches the lesson of trust. Trusting the Lord. How do we trust the Lord? Why do we trust Him? Answer. Please know that these messages are to Christians, not to non-believers. So it applies to all of you here. In case there are any friends who are not believers, come and believe on the Lord Jesus and be a child of God, then this message applies to you. Everyone who is a Christian is a child of God, and you come into the care of the Heavenly Father, and He will care for you as an earthly father cares for each of his children. Now let's read. You understand this and you'll be blessed. The Lord Jesus says in verse 26 to all of us here today, "Behold the fowls of the air." I paraphrase this. Look at the birds in the air. These people who are so worried and concerned about how to live better, who is not concerned about that, of course. Everybody's concerned. Nowadays, they talk of organic food to live better. Now, Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry about whether the food is organic or not. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns and store up. Yet, your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now the application here is fantastic. One day Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 verses 6 to 7, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows." Look at the sparrows. 5 of them sold for 2 farthings. Wilderness birds. You can get them a dozen for 1 penny. And yet the Heavenly Father loves them. And He provides for them. He does not allow them to go hungry. Fish soul, are you not more precious to Him? For your child. Your child of God. Do you have worries? Suppose you have a call from a friend in America. He says, "We came to America to settle. But there are problems. And my work took me to Taipei. I have to live in Taipei while my family lives in America. What shall we do? And my job, there's no guarantee that it's going to be a permanent job." What shall you say? He's a believer, of course. That's why he rang you, to get counsel. You should say, "If God the Father cares for the birds, are you not much more precious than the birds?" Applying just this lesson. You're worried, which is natural. What do you do? Your Father in heaven feeds the birds. Are you not much more precious than the birds? Are you not better? Answer is of course. And if I'm a child of God, and my Father lets me suffer because of it, and I become destitute, hungry, or in ragged clothes, unable to find food, how can it be? Answer is, it cannot be. Because the Father looks after each one of us. Now read on, please. Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit unto his stature? Of course not. You're born with genes which determine how high you will be. And it's all set already. But God looks after your stature. Whether you're 5 feet 6 or 6 feet 5, He still cares for you. Don't worry. Verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? I want to explain this. Why take thought is an old expression saying, why worry? Worry your head off that you cannot sleep. You get insomnia at night because you're thinking of all the time, how will I cope, until you cannot sleep. So Jesus says, why are you so worried about what to wear tomorrow? Is your Heavenly Father not aware that you need clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. King Solomon, the richest king on earth, most powerful at that time, was arrayed in beautiful robes, hand woven, so beautiful. Everybody admired him. Jesus says, of course, he's very beautiful. But I say unto you, not even Solomon was dressed like one of these lilies. Yes, lilies, beautiful. Beautiful design, beautiful color, including beautiful smell. Jesus says, look at the lilies. If you're worried and concerned about what to wear, just look at the lilies. If you're worried, and the answer is there. Because the lily is not a very expensive flower. Not like the orchids or some other flower that is very expensive. As they say, a dime, a dozen, you can get it. And yet it is so beautiful. And the design, the color, and the pattern is so wonderful. Much better than King Solomon's. So then apply it. Are you a child of God? Will your Heavenly Father allow you ever to go in rags and unclothed, or clothed with undignified clothing? Now, look at verse 30. Wherefore, this is application. Our Lord Jesus applies every one of his teaching in a masterly fashion. He is the perfect divine teacher. What does it say to you, in case you have such a problem? Wherefore, if God, your Heavenly Father, so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven to be burnt, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What must we have therefore? Pray for more faith. Just as the father of the child that had a dumb spirit said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So anyone here who is worried, how can I go through the new year? You have 365 days to go through, you know, and that's not few. How shall we get through the 365 days? Answer, God knows the way. Put your hand in the hand of God and go into the future, even though it may be dark. The Lord knows the way ahead of you. And he will make sure you'll go through next year with absolute security, certainty of his loving kindness and protecting care. You believe that? What do you think? Have faith. Ask for more faith. God will increase your faith. When the trial comes, you will be able to say, my God is able to take care of me, even though wars and the terrorists should break out. God knows I am his child. He is my father. He will surely look after me. Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Meaning to say, don't keep on worrying until you cannot sleep at night. Don't worry so much that you look like an old coffee pot in your face. All these things, the unbelievers, those who do not have God as their father, those who don't know that God cares for them, they worry. Yes, and they lose sleep. They lose their peace of mind. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Who are the Gentiles? The unbelieving people. They rely on themselves. They're saying if their bank account is big, they're okay. But I say, dear friends, bank accounts do not matter too much. It is your heavenly account, how you stand with the Lord of heaven and earth. Your heavenly Father, He looks after you. Your bank account is up there in heaven. And God knows. He cares for you. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now examine this verse for you. Verse 33. First part says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. There is a priority in what you are after. First things first. God guarantees you, assures you, you will be looked after, but have your priorities right. Don't all the time hanker, worry, and go after those secondary things. What are the secondary things? How well you eat, how well you clothes, how well your house and your luxuries and other items that you need every day. Of course, God knows you have need for all these things, but your first need is the kingdom of God. When you've assured yourself that you have a place in the kingdom of God, then the other things God will add to you. God will add them to you. You don't have to worry about those things. Sure? Of course. You say, how can I know? Answer is, put your hand in the hand of God, have faith and believe it. Ask for more faith and seek God's kingdom first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't go all the time, cheap sale, buy more and store and prepare for rainy days. All those things, yes, but they are not first priority, dear friend. What is the first priority? Kingdom of God. But the world will perish. And don't you think that now with Sentosa Cove, it is so wonderful. More and more billions are being poured into Singapore. More and more rich people come here and settle. Because Singapore is now so well known as a secure haven, free from terrorism, because their security is so good. You think so? Maybe. More and more people coming in, pouring billions of dollars, but the world will perish. Let us have our priorities for 2018. Set your priority first. The kingdom of God is my first priority. I have been saved because I trusted the Lord Jesus already these many years, and He has looked after my interests. My needs have been supplied. Praise the Lord. And I try my best always to do His commandments. For Jesus says in John chapter 14 verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And He loves us. And He said, you really love me? Yes? Alright. Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments so that you prove that you are seeking God's righteousness. These are more important things than whether I'll get more salary, double bonus, triple bonus, and more, better things in life, material things. Those things will come. They are not the priorities. Make sure you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Is your name written in heaven? You trust the Lord? You know Him as Savior? He saved you, forgiven your sins. Are you walking in His ways? Now let's see. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. Again, I want to assure you that you must take no thought for tomorrow in the present interpretation of this Old English, alright? The Old English says, take no thought for the morrow. Meaning, don't get neurotic and get too worried about tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Those things will come. But if you trust in the Lord, the things of tomorrow will settle into place because He knows your needs. He will look after it after you. Dare you believe this? The account is given that one time King Carl XV was petitioned to forbid unfelt singing throughout Scandinavia. What do you do? That was your occupation, composing and singing. You can't eat your guitar. The king called for unfelt to appear before him. Initially, unfelt was considerably perturbed, but he trusted in the Lord. God helped. The story is so long, I will not tell too much. But unfelt requested Lena Sandow to write a special hymn. She was equal to the occasion, and within a few days the song was ready. With his guitar under his arm and the new hymn in his pocket, unfelt appeared at the palace and sang these words. Who is it that knocketh upon your heart's door in peaceful eve? Who is it that brings to the wounded and sore the balm that can heal and relieve? Your heart is still restless, it findeth no peace in earth's pleasures. Your soul is still yearning, it seeketh release to rise to the heavenly treasures. The king listened with moist eyes. When unfelt had finished, King Carl gripped him by the hand and exclaimed, "You may sing as much as you desire in both of my kingdoms." Dear friends, God, who looks after the sparrows, will He neglect you? What did God do for unfelt? Did God allow him to starve? Not at all. Every morning for the rest of his life, bread from heaven came down. For the rest of his life, he was sustained with daily bread. If God so cares for the sparrows, will He let you starve? Answer is, not if you put your trust in the Lord, your Savior. Now I'm going to end with an allegory. An allegory is a story, simple but has a very profound, simple meaning. What I'm going to tell you. That is an old-fashioned clock, not often seen today. It's a very old-fashioned clock. This is in the 1900s. Now the clock has a dial on top with the hours written there, and it has got a pendulum. You know what is a pendulum? There were things that swing like this. Now I know it's very slow here, but every swing, tick-tock, is supposed to be 1 second, alright? One day, the dial, Mr. Dial, he's a faithful man, and his name is called Dial, on top there, alright? This is the story. He noticed the clock stopped ticking. What's the matter with Mr. Pendulum? Hey, you, Pendulum, what are you doing? I'm taking a rest. Why are you resting? Oh, I feel my burden is too heavy. I got to tick 86,400 times a day. When I think of that, and I'm saddled millions of tick-tocks through the year, I feel I'm so tired, so labored, I stop ticking. Faithful Dial says, "Oh, you poor pendulum. Why do you think at one time all the tick-tocks you got to do for the year? Today, live for today. Don't think of the year of tick-tocks and that you cannot bear the burden of ticking and talking so many million times." Oh, Is that right? But what about every day? It is 6,400 times. You calculate 60 seconds per minute, 60 minutes per hour, times 24 hours a day. It comes to 86,400, okay? So Pendulum says, well, I can't bear the burden of 86,400 a day. Mr. Dao says, listen, have faith. Pray for more faith. You just tick and talk. Think of the blessing in that one tick and talk. Very soon your hour will be passed. Very soon the day will pass. Very soon you'll forget that it is such a laborious thing. Moral of the story is this, dear friends. Jesus says, the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Don't you heap upon your small head all the problems of the things coming ahead of you. Where will my children study? How will I find the money for them? Who will look after the transport and the insurance and the house rent and all these things? Everything comes on top of your head. You can't sleep. So faithful Tao says, Pendulum, cheer up. Have faith. Pray for more faith and get on with your work. God will bless you. That is the end of the allegory on the dial and the pendulum. Stay with us. Live each day at a time. Practice the kind of deep and peaceful trust that Lena Sandberg has expressed in the hymn. Focus only on the challenges and difficulties of today and trust the Lord for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. God is already there. Look to God, and He will surely sustain you through the days ahead. Sing this hymn as you go. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we commit every believer here this evening facing the future and the problems of 2018. We have ahead of us 365 uncertain days, but we know that You are the God of all things, the God of the future, the God of time and eternity. We commit ourselves to Your holy hands, to Your care and keeping for the year that is ahead of us, that we will spend every day with You, walking with You, putting our hand in Your hand, with full confidence that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So now, Lord, bless Your people with Your grace, mercy, peace, with the protection of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the provision of every daily need, for our clothing, for food, for shelter, for everything we know You are able to supply. Increase, therefore, our faith, that we may leave this place rejoicing that we have a Heavenly Father who is able to do all these things for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.